Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome to this new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. And today I'm delighted to have Tyler Sullivan, or Sully, who is the owner of BombTech Golf over in Vermont. Happy to have you here, Tyler. Welcome to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Do you prefer me to call you Tyler, or shall I just refer to you as Sully?
Sully is perfect.
Thank you. Oh, cool. Cool to have you, Sully. Sully, you're the owner at BombTech Golf. Could you share a little bit about your background, give a brief overview of your resume, so to say?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I started BombTech Golf in 2012, which seems like a million years ago now. And I started it out of pure passion. I had no intentions of it being a full-time business. I was just a golfer obsessed with hitting the golf ball as far as I could. And in my quest to become the world's longest golf driver in the Home Run Derby of golf, I broke a lot of golf clubs and I ended up just assembling my own. During that process, I ended up making the world's worst website and I sold one. And that was like the biggest epiphany I had, because I was actually on a boat and got an email, and that email was an order, and that blew my mind. It literally changed how I thought of the world, and I said, wow, I can be doing something, not technically working or working for someone else and make money. And so I just wanted to do more of that. So I started selling like wholesale, assembling different clubs, custom clubs. And then I worked with my local college, the University of Vermont, where I barely graduated, which is 10 minutes from my house. I graduated like 15 years ago now, I think, 2006. And I worked with a group of students to design our own golf driver. So I designed that, took kind of a risk, and really just documented my journey early days on Facebook, and have been fortunate enough to scale that to we do around 7 million a year. 6 to 7 with 2 employees, and I work 6 to 8 hours a week on that. And from that success, I've been featured on a lot of podcasts on not working a lot and driving a ton of revenue and profit. And I was able to start another company, Ecom Growers, where we help specifically e-commerce brands that to drive more revenue with Klaviyo. And that now we're a top 25 Klaviyo agency, we're a platinum agency. And that now is doing 7 figures as well. So it's been kind of crazy. I went from a side hustle, passion, play to owning two companies, working less than ever. I do like to work a lot, but I work on stuff that actually, are big levers. And I could have never predicted this story. And I'm very fortunate and thankful for the success I've had. And every day I still pinch myself, but I work hard. And, if I can do it, anyone can.
Wow. So Sully, that's a great story. That's what people dream about, when they become entrepreneurs, to be successful as you are with both the consultancy or your agency and the e-commerce website. But surely, it hasn't always been easy, but probably you'll have to have had some struggles that you went over, and many, and now you're doing great. But, from that moment where you got that email, that order, when you were on a boat, what steps did you take that made you successful?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it's timing too, right? Like, so I did this with doing something you love, at least for me. So like, I had no expectations that it was going to turn into a business, and that way, and I did something I love, which I was doing already, which is golf. So it never felt like work, right? So that allowed me to work insane hours and do things that probably people would not be willing to do for years, because it really didn't feel like work to me because I just loved it so much. But really, like, all I did during that process, it was definitely good timing, because it was early Facebook days where you had a lot of reach, and I just started documenting my journey. So I was like, when I was designing the golf clubs, I'd ask a lot of questions like, hey, I'm looking at this color, this material, this loft, what do you play now, what do you think, and just almost took my potential customers along for the journey. And that was really kind of the success was that. And then really it was in year two or three where I was scaling up a little bit, like in terms of volume, but I really had a life event. I've had many of them that changed my path. And what happened was I was, you know, working full time. I just found out my wife was pregnant. It was the week before Thanksgiving and I was fired from my day job. And that was probably, I had no idea it was coming. Total shock to me. Bomb Tech was not even close to full-time income. And it was a kick in the butt and really just changed my entire mindset and gave me a level of motivation, a new kid on the way, no job, and an immense amount of pressure that if I never had that, you know, I don't think it would have become what it is. And at the time, it seemed like the world was ending because I had, you know, a kid on the way, first time dad. I had now no income coming in. I cashed out my 401k to pay for inventory. I mean, it was beyond stressful. And I used to work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, figuring out and doing all the wrong stuff. But through that pressure, I was able to find many, you know, victories and scale it up to a point where it replaced then 20x or 50x my income. But it was one of the big moments where it was a life event. And I thought my life was over almost but it really made it successful. Was that pressure.
Yeah. And that's what I keep on telling to people that want to start businesses over and over again, because there is always an excuse not to start a company. Right? There is a kid coming, you have a huge mortgage, you just started a new job, etc. There's always a reason not to start your company. And the way you're just rephrasing it here is that you had a lot of pressure to succeed. But anyways, I keep on telling people, you know, if you would put that effort that you're putting in your day job now into your own business, it has to become a success. And if not, try something else. But, you know, it's that people are too scared, I think, to start their own companies. I'm also from another culture. You know, the American culture is pretty pro entrepreneurs. Here in the Netherlands, it's not as entrepreneurial focused as the US is. If you're failing as a business here in the Netherlands, these people will tell you, they'll first of all tell you, told you so. Whereas in the US, people will say, hey, you know, you failed, try something else. You learned a lot from it. You know, good luck on your next venture. But, you know, I love that story, Sully. So when I entered your website, because as a little preparation here, I just went to the Bomb Tech golf website myself. I'm not a golfer myself. But, you know, one of the things that struck my attention there was the little Wheel of Fortune. And that's offering you a little discount or a giveaway in exchange for your email address. Is email marketing, is that a big part of your success?
Yeah. So like when I first started, there's so many tactics and hacks and strategies and softwares. It's so overwhelming. And email is still, for some reason, the most misunderstood, where everyone's like, yeah, I do it, but they really don't realize the full potential. So email, I own an email marketing agency where we just run email and now text messaging for econ brands. And that all came from my beginnings at Bomb Tech Golf and our success with getting emails and then using emails to tell a story. So like at a basic level, you know, you got to be able to gather emails, right? Whether you're someone's buying, becoming, that's the most valuable email, which is a customer email, or they're signing up for that Wheel of Fortune type of pop-up I have on my website. So you need to be able to gather leads, right? And then from there, you need to be able to email them and have conversations that people want to listen to and be a part of. So I look at email probably in what we do for clients in a really different way. I look at it as your only true asset. Like if Facebook ads stop tomorrow, if Google ads stop tomorrow, traffic, you know, dried up, your email list is your business. Like if you were to sell it, that's your asset. Your customer list and your emails. And I look at it as having a two-way conversation with them and not as a, although it drives 42 to 45% of my revenue, I look at it as a two-way conversation where I want to learn from customers. And just, I literally ask questions I want to know the answer to. Like, we got a new product coming up. I'll say, hey, what do you want to name it? Would you buy it? Like, what price would you, like all these basic questions. And I use my list to really engage them and have conversations they want to have that we want to have. And then it also drives revenue. So it is so important, the ability to have those conversations in email, because that's the only thing you really own as an e-com brand, a B2B agency, anyone really. Email is the business.
Absolutely. And I'm fully with you there, but I still see a lot of e-commerce owners, let's say web shop owners or people that own platforms or whatsoever, that seem to treat email more like something they do aside, something they don't have a structure in. It doesn't seem like a structural solution. Sometimes it pops up and an email newsletter is being sent out, and it's more or less like they see it as more or less like an obligation to send out some updates every once in a while. Is there a system that you're using or could recommend for e-com owners that is successful or that has proven success?
Yeah, I mean, so what we do, like most e-com brands, I can't speak for everyone, it's just they underutilize their list. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where I think a lot of the focus is on the front end traffic, which you're spending the most money on. So I can totally relate and understand, like Facebook ads, Google ads is typically where most of your budget's going. So you spend most of your time there, but really email's the back end where it's going to drive the most profit, revenue, allow you to scale, allow you to be really more profitable and launch products successfully, right? So like from a tech standpoint or like starting point, I mean, Klaviyo is what we recommend for email. Almost everyone that's legit in e-com is using it because you can drive revenue and you can measure it, you can segment out, you can build out flows. But really, like most brands that come in, we do an audit first. We do a video audit of their account just to see where they're at. They look at it as a blast approach where they just blast their whole list, some new offer or a newsletter with seven different calls to actions. And really, you want to have one, like if you want to have any takeaways of how to use email, number one, ask questions. And I say that to engage your list. And also, if you ask questions and people reply, you'll go from the promotions tab to the inbox. And when you're in the inbox, that's where the money is. Your emails will get seen. People will read them. They can see whatever you're trying to communicate. And then just keep it simple. That's the second part, is there's a lot of misconception. And I feel like as a brand owner myself, you want to make everything look sexy on brand. So you overly design emails and make them almost look like a brochure. But when you and I send an email together, you're not sending me a overly designed brochure, are you? You're sending me a plain text email.
Absolutely.
So like, be native to the platform. So that's phase two, is like, ask questions to get engagement. Keep it simple and use native to whatever the platform it is. On email, we send a lot of plain text with maybe one image. And third, be focused. So like we don't want to have a newsletter that's overly designed with 20 different calls to action. We have one call to action per email, whether it's reply, whether it's click this link, whether it's buy this product, whatever it is. So it's engage, keep it simple, and have one call to action. If you do those, like if you almost break it down and simplify it, you'll be so much more successful. And then the last part is strategy, like how you just think of how to use email. And I think that's the biggest issue, is there's just like, it's a secondary thought, or it's a last minute, oh shoot, I got to send out a blast email. You know, the overall approach is just misunderstood. And I don't know why that is, but email is still just so insanely effective.
Absolutely. And one of the things that triggers me in those tips that you're sharing here is the plain text one, because I don't know a lot of companies that send plain text emails. It's kind of what you're saying. They all want to send out very nice, let's say HTML designed emails, whereas you're just saying, hey, that plain text, which usually is like it's not even looked after when they send out emails, because there's always, every email client has a plain text editor, but it's hardly ever used or even checked if that email even scales or is readable within plain text. And what you're saying is just focus on plain text, right?
You know, it's really the copy, you know, and being native, you know. So it's like the copy does 90% of lifting and tell your story. And it's like, it's just, you got to be native. Like, I don't know how else to communicate. It's, if you're sending something that's so jarring to your normal inbox, it's going to come off as an ad. Whereas if I have a conversation with you in an email from my brand, but it has my name on it. So that's the other thing. We also make it personal. So we attach a founder or person to it. I say, hey, you know, I'm coming out with this new driver next year. This is what I was thinking. What do you think we should call it? Or what do you think, whatever you want to know, like, and just ask them. Number one, you're going to learn a ton from your customers. Number two, they're going to feel like they're building the club or product with you. Why wouldn't you want that? And number three, you're also going to get more engagement. Therefore, your emails are going to get seen more. And just overall, it's going to be more effective. Whereas if you just blast HTML overly designed brochures to people, the open rates are just going to plummet. People aren't going to engage. And when you do want to launch that new product, guess what? It's going to be hard to do. So like typically revenues we see coming in from clients are like 10 to maybe 25%, most around 15. And we'll bring them up depending on the brand from like that to 30 to 50. Mm-hmm. And that can have a major difference on their bottom line. I mean, we're talking, you know, most of our brands are doing between 2 and 20 million a year. So when you change their percent of revenue from email from like 15 to 40, you know, you can, that's a lot of profit.
It's huge.
And you can scale further. That's the thing for me is I know on the front end, if we're profitable, I know on the back end, our lifetime value is just going to be so much higher because I'm having real authentic conversations with our clients and I actually care. So I invest, like I only have two employees and they, all they do is reply to emails and do the phone calls. But like, so the last thing I want is like a no reply email with someone can't reply. We want people to reply. So we're having these conversations for months and years and they feel like they know my guys, they know me. And it becomes more than just this big brand, you know, it becomes more personal. And that's really was my accidental success was I just started putting myself on camera, sending emails for myself. And people like me for whatever reason. And I think I'm just relatable because I'm just like them as my customer. And that's really the difference. Just like be native, be real, be authentic, and don't overcomplicate it, man. Email's not that complicated. But it just seems like a misunderstood thing. And we're glad to manage it for clients and drive revenue. And it's such a high ROI thing. For me, it's the highest ROI thing I can possibly do.
And for some, let's say, shop or e-com owners that are listening to the podcast now, I think it's quite interesting to share some, let's say, results from your experience, because they're always looking for benchmarks. So if you're let's say, looking at your results in email marketing, usually things are measured like open rates, click rates, sometimes conversions. Can you share some, let's say, typical benchmarks on those specific metrics that you think are successful or should be?
Yeah, I mean, there is no real benchmark per se. Like there's industry benchmarks, but not every client's different, you know, and how they choose to communicate. Like for me, I can tell you success for me, my KPI, which I only have one, is revenue, percent of revenue from email. That's my only KPI. So I know if I'm successful or not in my own brand, whether that number is being hit. So my number is pretty high. It's 40% of revenue from email. So I know if we're higher than that, then we need, if we're at like 55, 50, 60% of revenue from email, I need to scale my ads harder. If I'm lower than that, which I rarely am, lower than 40%, I think we're at 45 right now. That means I need to send better offers, more offers. I need to work on my email strategy, right? So every brand is different. I think it all comes to where you're starting from. And okay. I think that's the problem. A lot of brands don't even know. Like if you ask yourself, what's your revenue percent from email? Do you know? And really, that's why we do the audit, is we'll go through, literally go through and show you exactly what we would do. And then we just, at the end, if you want us to do it, we'll do it for you. But yeah, the audit shows you what potential is, where you're at, and kind of just where we expect it to go.
Talking about those volumes of emails and sending more emails to people, what kind of, do you have like a typical or a rule of thumb that you, that people or shop owners can refer to or use when they're sending emails? Could you, is there a limited number or a maximum number of emails that you can send to people on a monthly basis or weekly basis, or is that different?
As long as they're opening and engaging, you could send as much as you want. If that slows down and people start unsubscribing or not opening, then you need to pivot your strategy or send less. I mean, we tend to be specific by client and like what they have to say and how conversational they want to keep it. But for me, I like to send, you know, 2 to 3 emails a week. And then I have flows, like many, many flows of automation going. Mm-hmm. So really customers are getting probably an email a day between the flows and the campaigns. Black Friday started Monday. We sent an asinine amount of email, just tons and tons of email based on what we wanted to accomplish, right? And you know, we pivot as we look at the results. So it is somewhat dynamic. So I don't like, it's hard to put any hard numbers or like, do this and you'll be successful. It's like, well, you know, it depends on your brand and what you're sending, right? So if you're sending junk, guess what? It's not gonna work. But if you're sending engaging copy that comes from an authentic person, and your customers enjoy reading it, guess what? You can send a lot more. You know, so it's really the overall. That's why I keep going back to like the strategy, the conversation, the overall, you know, what you're saying to those customers, and are you engaging and caring about them?
So be native, but also measure everything. So measure revenue from email, but also measure when people are stopping engaging on your emails, when they're maybe unsubscribing, etc. But I want to ask one more question on what we touched in the beginning of the interview, because your email success starts at your list, right? So, and that's, I know a lot of e-com business owners don't have those lists yet, or they have a struggle in list building. Can you share some advice on how to build your email list?
Yeah, email is really simple to build. I mean, if you're struggling on that regard, your offer is not good. You know, I mean, I haven't started from scratch in 8 years. So we don't work with any brands doing less than, you know, at least 1 million a year. So typically all of them have lists and are growing, and they grow those lists and I grow my list very simply. We pay for traffic, whether it's Facebook, Google Ads, SEO, whatever, influencers, however you find best to get profitable traffic through an offer that makes sense for your brand. And then we get customers that buy the product. And then if they don't buy, we use our pop-ups. We use Privy, big fan of Privy. Super easy to load. It just works. And we use the spin to win. And after you sign up for the mystery offer, then you also get a message. And we took this from one of our clients, actually, who set this up. We invite you to text us for a giveaway. So it's a two-part series. You get an email and then a text as well. But yeah, it's really that it. We tried other things where we've made like separate landing pages, Facebook lead ads, but really it's get them to buy. They don't buy, use a pop-up, typically with some incentive that directly ties to what you want them to do. So in this case, it's e-commerce, you want them to buy. Typically, we give a small coupon to get them towards checkout to buy. And that's really it. So you should be growing your list in that way and then taking care of it and really driving revenue. But if you're just starting, you got to be able to pay for traffic and be somewhat profitable to get started. And again, I haven't started a new company in a while, so that's a whole different story. Traffic, got to be able to do that. And that's definitely overall, as an owner of anything, you should be able to do all parts of e-commerce well enough to then hire someone. You know, if you don't know how to do it yourself, it's very difficult to hire someone and be dangerous enough. And because I had fired my best ad guy ever from like 3-4 years ago because I didn't know enough myself. So being dangerous enough to know ads, to know email is the only way you can hire successfully. That was a huge takeaway for me. So,
and that's a great takeaway to end this podcast with, Sully, because, you know, you shared so many tips, so many advices for e-com business owners. You know, they can start applying this immediately, I would say. And I'll also will write down those tips into the show notes, so people can look into some of your tips and some links to the tools that you mentioned. I'd like to thank you very much for being on the podcast, and I'll share your LinkedIn profile so people can reach out to you on LinkedIn. Is there another platform on which they can reach out to you, or maybe email?
LinkedIn's great. Yeah. I mean, if you're a golfer, check out bombtechgolf.com. That'd be awesome. And then if you're an e-commerce brand, we'd love to do an audit. That's ecomgrowers.com. But yeah, I've been super active on LinkedIn, having lots of cool conversations. I mean, my goal really moving forward is just to connect with other owners, and LinkedIn's been really fun to do that and have an impact, you know. And we're scaling up the agency, and that's such a different business. It's a people-based business, so we're hiring really fast for that. So if any Klaviyo experts are out there listening, we are hiring actively because we got so much client demand on that side, which is pretty cool to watch. And total different type of business than e-com. But yeah, I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn, and hopefully today's show gave you some value.
Thank you very much, Sully.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.